We're talking today with Mary Kay Thatcher from American Farm Bureau. Mary Kay, let's talk about some of the things going on right now. Of immediate interest, we get the word from EPA that pretty well as expected, the numbers that were kind of leaked a week or so ago are now out there for discussion and for comment regarding the 2014 volume operative, the suggested volume levels for ethanol. They're down.
They are down, and I think you've got some mixed reactions out there. Most of the crop growers aren't very happy, and most of the livestock folks and the big oil guys are pretty happy. But this is kind of a long ways from hearing the end of it because it is just a comment period, so we'll hear that. And then I think, you know, very likely, regardless of which way this goes with a final rule, you're going to probably get a little bit of litigation, certainly if they do indeed reduce the ethanol blend wall requirements.
And I know that the folks that are they're obviously pro-ethanol, they're pretty upset that, you know, they backed them off under current production levels.
They did. They took us back to the 2012 levels, and so I think you're going to see a lot of indication about whether or not they believe EPA had the ability to do this administratively, and I suspect a very, very large volume of comments from across the board as to whether this is the right number or not.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm sure a lot of these groups that represent ethanol interests, they can generate a lot of comments, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you also have all the biodiesel and the celluloxic and the folks that want to make sure corn ethanol is still working so that they can continue to get the rest of it up and moving in a bigger manner, too.
I know that your president, Mr. Solomon, did issue a statement regarding some disappointment about how they turned out.
Well, I think we are disappointed. You know, I think you can look now at certainly understand some of what the livestock producers are thinking, but you look now at 4.25, you know, corn, and you realize that it's not all controlled by just how much is going into ethanol. So I think we are disappointed. I think you probably heard a little less explosion today than you would have had those numbers not been leaked a week ago and everybody talking about it. I'm not all that sure they didn't run it up the flagpole just to see how bad it would be. But, again, very mixed reaction in the country, as you would expect.
Right. Farm bill. Waiting, obviously, looking for some white smoke from the meeting of the four principals. That really, at this point, is the key, how well they're able to hammer out these details, right?
It is the key. And the four principals, the chairs and the ranking members of the ag committees have been meeting frequently and talking even more frequently. And I actually think it's very good news that we haven't had a lot of leaks out of there, because I think when you have leaks, it tells you that the discussions aren't going very well and they sort of take their fight to the press. So from everything I'm understanding, those discussions are going well. People are understanding they can't have everything they want. There's got to be give and take. And we are making progress now. I don't think we're there yet. I think the big stumbling block continues to be what the right number is on food stamp cuts and how much, you know, reform you can and cannot get. But I'm still very optimistic that by sometime around the first of the year, we can finish this bill.
Mr. Peterson making comments indicating just exactly that relatively close, I think, was kind of what he seemed to be intimating.
Yeah, he indicated earlier today that he thought that the four principals could finish by late next week, and then that, of course, would give us plenty of time after Thanksgiving to indeed try to get this done before Christmas. So that's a very heartening statement. Hope he's right.
From what you've seen of previous farm bills and how things have worked out, you know, in these kind of discussions before, what the four principals put together, how much heartburn will be in the rest of the committee? I mean, will the rest of the conference committee kind of go along? Will there still be some real tug of wars on some issues, you think?
Well, you know, conference committees today aren't like they were 15, 20 years ago when you literally would go in a room and see, you know, 30 or 40 people sitting there debating different issues and actually having votes. Conference committees aren't very prevalent these days. In fact, this is really the first conference committee we've had in the House and the Senate for quite some time. But, you know, generally the way it's been working recently is that the principals would be responsible, i.e. Chairwoman Stabenow would be responsible for going to the Senate Democrats on the conference committee and saying, here's what I'm thinking, here's where the discussions are going. How do you feel about that? What are your most important priorities? What's a you can't do it? And the same would be true on the House side with the folks there. So while they may not actually be in the room, I think they're being well represented. And I think that those four are all seasoned enough to know that they can't just move forward with what the four of them think. They've got to include all those members of the conference committee, as well as the leadership in both the House and the Senate.
Right. And that's the other thing. Mr. Lucas has said many, many times it's going to take some power beyond those four principles on the nutrition number.
It is. You know, I continue to believe that Speaker Boehner must have the worst job in Washington, because he's got a lot of folks he's got to try to read there. And I think it's going to be up to him to figure out largely on the House side. You know, the number we hear is maybe $8, $10, $12 billion in cuts in nutrition. I think it's very doubtful you get 60 or 70 Tea Party Republicans that voted for $40 billion in cuts, you know, a few weeks ago, and now would say 10 is enough. So I think Speaker Boehner has to decide, do I continue to live with this unwritten so-called Hastert rule, where I only bring it to the floor if I have 50% of the Republicans, or do I bring a bill to the floor that I may never get the Tea Party folks on, but I get a bunch of Democrats and a bunch of Republicans, enough to have a majority and be able to pass the bill. But that's obviously a big picture political question, not necessarily a little picture farm bill question.
So is it distinct possibility that that conference report might sit there for a while, waiting House action?
Well, it could sit there a while, yes. I mean, I think they're going to have to time it. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I know within the last day or so that Speaker Boehner said he didn't really want to tie this into the budget bill. And that had been something that a lot of folks were talking about, is, you know, if we have $20 or $30 billion in savings in this farm bill and you got a budget bill coming up and people don't want sequestration in certain areas, especially things like defense, then can you marry the two and use part of the savings for that? But Speaker Boehner said he wasn't very crazy about that idea within the last 24 hours. So, obviously the best avenue would be, could we pass this farm bill as a standalone measure? But if we can't, I think you'd find many people in agriculture who would be very supportive of put it in a budget bill and let's just get the darn thing done.
From your understanding, as far as the discussions you've heard and conversations you've had, if we come on and pull this thing through successfully, reports accepted, the president signs the bill, are those fresh numbers, those new numbers, are they subject to sequestration?
I think they very well could be subject to sequestration. You know, the administration put out a note within the last couple of days about all the different programs that were under sequestration. And, you know, they went even as far as taking the last year of the 10-year tobacco buyout transition payment. So it appears to me that unless it's specifically excluded in the law somewhere previously, that virtually everything is going to be on the table. Now, I don't have any final answer for you there, but I would just say if you look at the trend, I think everything gets hit.
So even after they've made those cuts, you come back and you get trimmed a little bit more potentially.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, you're going to have sequestration for another whatever it is, mm-hmm. 8 or 9 years. So this isn't something that is set in stone. It's something, and, you know, we can say, well, this is be a 5-year farm bill, and that's great. It will be, I think. But obviously, we get cut in appropriations every year, too. So we won't hear the end of the farm bill. We won't hear the end of renewable fuel standard. We're not going to hear the end of WERDA if indeed we pass it in the next month or so. I mean, they're all really good steps of progress, but battles will continue.
One battle that isn't necessarily at the top of the list in farm bill negotiations, but it was mentioned by quite a few of the members of the conference committee, MCOOL, Mandatory Country of Origin Labeling. You think anything will come out of this conference report?
Well, you know, that is a really controversial subject, and I think for the most part you've had the players pretty much set in stone where they were for the past several years. There was really kind of what they call a placeholder in the bill. It didn't say we're going to repeal country of origin labeling, but that's kind of the intent of what at least a few of the conferees were doing. I strongly suspect that, like virtually every other issue in the farm bill, there's going to be some kind of a negotiation on that. So there'll be some kind of country of origin labeling that'll move forward. Maybe it won't be quite as strong as it is now. I think regardless of which side of the issue you're on, you want to make sure that you're staying compliant with the WTO. You know, none of us really like the Brazil cotton case, and we don't want to get into another one now. So I suspect some kind of negotiation. I can't begin to tell you what that halfway point might be.
That's one of the things that obviously is going to be discussed, though, probably in all likelihood.
Oh, I think absolutely. And you've got some groups that feel very, very strongly about it that, you know, I think have a real chance of saying, you know, we're going to vote against the farm bill unless we get what we want on country of origin labeling.
Right. Overall, as we've gone through this process, you know, you've seen several farm bills down through the years. Your overall take of how this thing has played out at this point?
It's been kind of the perfect storm against agriculture, I think. You know, For one thing, we've had pretty good prices for most commodities, so we haven't had as much input from farmers and ranchers as you would like. It's always easier for somebody like me to write a farm bill when prices are low, because then everybody in the country's ginned up and wants to be active and talk. I think the other things are, you know, prices have been good. In general, farmers have been doing better than the general economy, and so we got a lot of urban members saying, what the heck, why are we helping agriculture at all? The press has just been awful for us in general, especially the big city press, et cetera. So I think we've had a lot of things going against us, but I think there, again, is a really good chance that this might be one major piece of legislation that does pass. And I've lost track a little bit, but I think we've only passed 150 laws in Congress in the last 10 months, and many of them are naming post offices. So if we can pass a farm bill, I think that's going to be a pretty darn good accomplishment.
Backing up on one thing within the farm bill itself, crop insurance. I know that's been the line of the sand for most farm groups, including Farm Bureau. But yeah, we got a lot of folks wanting to take a crack at it, as far as, you know, steal some of that money away, peel some of the support, I guess you'd say.
And I'll be surprised if crop insurance doesn't get negotiated down a bit too. You know, there is, it's one of the few programs that actually is going to have some additional funding in it versus probably a 25% cut in the commodity programs. And I think that there's also, I think you'll probably see some, you are seeing some very definite discussion about putting means testing on crop insurance, which is just a really bad idea. We're looking at tying conservation compliance with crop insurance. But I think what you're really going to see is you're probably not going to see it nicked too badly this year. But then when we finish this farm bill, you and I are going to talk crop insurance nonstop for the next few years, because that's where the big target is going to be.
Where the pot of money is.
Absolutely, and that's why. But you've already got people like the Environmental Working Group and the Heritage Foundation, those folks that are targeted on it. So for my friends who think that direct payments go away and therefore the big press and EWG and others quit bludgeoning us because of no more direct payments, you have to look no further than crop insurance.
Right.